dramatic conclusion of
Trapped in.
This is Monica Passos for CQUT.
Stop putting your TV set on, please.
Bye-bye.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Life, life, life. Celebrate life, celebrate life. Bubble to the max, everything well cool and relaxed. So we send out the location. They are past spot. We are pop champagne non-stop. Yeah. Happy birthday, yeah, my friend. Yeah. One more year upon them. Yeah. Go on, wanna vibe. Give thanks for life. Next year we're doing it again. Yeah, yeah. Happy birthday, yeah, my friend. Whoa. One more year upon them. Yeah. More life to your
speak like. Live a humble and meek life. Ordinary day of the week life. Try to search and seek life. Concentrate on what's bogus. Never sell out for a bonus. Handle your biz like grown-ups. Own up. It's amazing the way your fire keeps blazing. That's why you're constantly praising.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is a Montreal-based knitwear designer and teacher. Her name is Sasha Heyer, and she's known for her versatile designs that combine colors and textures, and her work has been featured in several knitting magazines and books. Island Vibes, her first publication, is not only a celebration of her Jamaican heritage, but also a tribute to the meditative and relaxing power of knitting. Sasha says, "Let this book be your guide as you knit your way through my vibrant and rhythmic world of summer knitwear, with Jamaica as your muse and the Caribbean as your backdrop." Sasha Heyer, welcome to Soul Perspectives. How are you doing?
Hello, hello. It's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be a part of this program. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm doing well.
Good, good. So tell us, how did you get into knitting?
Well, originally, knitting was not the first thing I started doing with the fiber arts community with my crafting skills. I started off with crocheting, which is a similar task, and a lot of people get the two confused.
Right.
Knitting is when you do it with two sticks, and crocheting is when you do it with a hook.
Okay.
And I got into this craft when I was in high school, courtesy of my grandmother. You know, she's the one that made me a beautiful Afghan blanket. I fell in love with this design. I was like, oh, this is really cool. How did you do it? You know, she's like, I made it. I'm like, tell me more.
Right.
And that's what got me started on crocheting. And then eventually I taught myself how to knit. Okay. Because the more I got into the craft, the more I realized that there's so much more to this world. It's not just making a blanket or, I don't know, doilies or things like that. Because people from the Caribbean know crocheting as doilies.
Right.
But, you know, the more I got into it, my grandmother also, she never read a pattern. She just looked at something and said, you see this? Just do this and you get that.
Okay.
And so that's how I kind of started off right off the bat designing. And again, like I said, through the years, I started seeing more and more interesting garments out there. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm like, that's not crochet. How do I get that stitch?
Right.
And then I am a graduate of YouTube University. And that's what helped me to hone my skills as a knitwear designer and just as a knitter, period. And then eventually a knitwear designer. So, yeah, that's how I got started.
Okay. And what is it about knitting that you really enjoy?
For me, I just love knitting because I find there's a tranquility to it. You know, when I pick up my stitches, you know, when I first started doing it, it was for the joy of creating things and sharing things with others. And there's such immense pleasure of making something from your own two hands, mm-hmm. and be proud of it and wearing it and be like, yeah, getting compliments like, oh, that's a nice top, that's a nice this or a nice that, and you get to say, I made this, you know. And but yeah, so knitting for me started off as just a fun little hobby, fun little pastime, but the more I got to do it, the more meditative it was, the more relaxing and calming it became, and then that's just how my passion just grew and grew.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I've known you for almost two decades now, since I think 2006 or seven.
Around there, yeah.
It's only since like the last 5 years that I saw like you started posting your knitting stuff. I find it amazing how like you can know somebody for many years, but you still don't really know them.
That's true. It's so, so true. So the reason why you kind of saw it, like, I don't want to say blow up, but like you really saw my passion more out there in the world, you know, the greater half of the last decade. Since I had my kids, that's when I started to actually publish my work. Okay. So I've always made stuff for myself and my friends and family, close people, but I've never published anything. And it started because, well, I had my daughter, she's going on 8, and I have a son who's going on 6.
Right.
And when my son was about 1 year old, I'm like, okay, you know, he's big enough now, let me make some sweaters for him. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who has more than one kid, and boy, girl, you know, you pass down clothes from one child to another and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And when it came to the knitwear selection that I had from my daughter, a lot of the stuff that I made or a lot of stuff that that was out there in the world was very, in my opinion, very girly, very frilly and lacy. And I wanted something a little bit more gender neutral. Right. And so I didn't see that in the market. So I made that, I filled that gap.
Okay.
And when I filled that gap for my son, I said to myself, I cannot be the only one thinking that there's not enough gender neutral things out there in the world. So that's when I hit publish. And so because I hit publish on my first independent pattern, that's when everybody else got to see what I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, all you're keeping secrets.
Keeping my little secrets to myself. But yes, if you ask some other friends of mine who's had kids before I hit publish, everybody's had a baby blanket made for me at some point, or baby booties or something along those lines.
Right.
But until it came to my turn to have the experience of joy of parentage, that's when I started to hit publish for everybody else to share.
And did you, aside from YouTube University, did you take any other courses, or this was really, really
funny enough, because I was I don't want to say I was a hermit per se, but like I kept it to myself. Like you said, we've known each other going on nearly two decades now, and it's not something that I advertised.
Right.
And I didn't know if there was a community for this. I didn't start on this journey looking for community, but I did find community later on down the line. And so it was something I would do by myself. I would go to Michael's, I go to Walmart, buy my wool and stuff like that, and trying to figure it out on my own. So no, I didn't take classes because I didn't know that it was a thing to get educated in this world out there in outside of YouTube. Right. But then eventually I discovered a knitting store in NDG. Oh. It's on Monkland. And, you know, that's what really opened my eyes to like, oh, there's more people out there like me. Mm-hmm. And I found my little sense of community there.
And do you find that there are a significant amount of Black folks doing knitting?
When I first started, no. You know, I didn't see myself out there in the crowd. I didn't see myself out there in the designs either. You know, a lot of these models and the designs were skinny, petite.
What?
Predominantly Caucasian women, right?
White.
Right. But, you know, I didn't really see anybody that looked like me. And then also when I found this knitting store, it's not like I was living there every day, but then whenever I would go by, there was not a large Black clientele. Mm-hmm. I started shopping at that store maybe a little over, or maybe actually a little under a year. And they saw me coming in regularly and they saw my stuff. They're like, wow, you really have a talent. And then they made the proposition, would you like to work for us?
Okay.
At the time, I had a full-time job. I was on my career path with what I studied in university. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I can't really work. You know, like I have my 9 to 5 and they're like, how about you just work like one day a week and on a weekend or something? Mm-hmm. And that's what started me. And I ended up working at that knitting store for almost 8 years,
wow.
Working just one day a week through my two pregnancies and everything. When I'm at leave came back, they're like, you're still coming back, right? I'm like, yes. And then working there that one day a week, I got to see more of the clientele come in. And it was really nice to see that there were other Black people coming in. And then them seeing me, it just reassured them and reconfirmed that, like, yeah, this is cool. There is a community for us.
Yeah.
So on the Canadian scene, local Montreal scene, there's not a lot of Black people, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of Black Americans. There's a huge knitting community out there.
In the States?
In the States, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I found them via social media, through Instagram. And I'm like, there are more of us out there. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really cool to see. Really, really cool.
And yeah. Did you do any research about the historical impact of quilting or knitting or crocheting in the Black community?
Initially, no. I just, you know, because it was not something that I sought after.
Mm-hmm.
But after a few years in this industry, I realized the beautiful history that we have in knitting and quilting and like the history of quilting in and of itself. So like when I talk about knitting, it's not just knitting or crocheting. It's a fiber arts community. Okay. And I talked about the whole community. So it extends to anybody who does needlecraft work, to sewing and whatnot. We're all in this industry together.
Yeah.
And there is a huge history there. There's this one book that I read. I forgot the name of the author. I want to say her name is Jen Hewitt. And the book is called This Long Thread. And it talks about the history of knitting and the fiber arts in the Black community specifically.
And share with us a bit, because I know. Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have precursory knowledge of like I think it's the quilts in the American community. It's how like they during times of slavery they would have to sew like elaborate stuff for the masters and whatnot, and yeah. Then they would like take the little tiny pieces of scraps and mm-hmm. in order to make blankets for themselves and for their family. And
but you know, it wasn't just making blankets for themselves and for their families
and clothing, so, and stuff like that as well.
Exactly. So a lot of these quilts, you know, when you really look at them, it's patchwork, right? And to the untrained eye, it might just seem like a little piece from here, a little fabric from there, a little piece of my garment. This is a piece of my heritage that I'm putting in. That is what it is, mm-hmm. but there's more to it. Like when they first started, a lot of these quilts were hidden messages.
Yes.
They were, you know,
Yeah,
it was part of like the underground, you know, like an extension of that to pass on like, okay, this is where we started from. This is where we're going. That's how Black people literally wove in their history in these quilts.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, there's so much to it. You know, I do encourage people to look up these things and to read more about it. Again, if they want, they could start off with the book. It's called This Long Thread. I don't have it beside me, but I will get the name of the author and get that to you.
Yeah.
Because it's really encouraging to find out about our history.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, does
it is Jen Hewitt, the author. Yeah. Jen Hewitt. So Jen Hewitt, Hewitt.
I'm curious, does knitting or crocheting have a similar background in terms of the historical significance of it within the Black community?
Yeah, they are kind of one and the same. Again, it's just a different way of expressing your skill set, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So crochet, I said, it's just with one hook, and knitting is just with two needles. That's the predominant difference between the two.
Right.
But in terms of expressing your creativity and your craft, it can be done in either or.
Mm. And You say that crocheting is one and knitting is two. I know we can't visually show it, but could you make, perhaps explain a little bit in terms of like the technique and what, like how, because for people who don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe to have an audio idea of what's the difference between the two.
Okay. So the difference is visible through the stitch pattern. With crochet, they talk about chains and double chains and hooks. Whereas with knitting, it's just you have a knit stitch and you have a purl stitch. How to describe it? They're all about basically you just have a piece of stick in your hand and a thread, you know, right. and you create something from it. It's just different ways of doing things, you know. Look, for example, if you want to compare it's not really comparing what the difference is between the two, but there are differences in everything in the world, but at the same time, they share so much similarities.
Right.
Reading. In English, we read from left to right. In Arabic, they read from right to left. It's a different way of doing it, but the end result is the same. It's still nonetheless reading.
Yeah.
Writing. Some people write with their right hand. Some people are left-handed. End result, you get something that is legible.
Mm-hmm.
So knitting and crocheting. Crocheting, you use one hook. You create a different stitch pattern or whatever, a certain way, and knitting, you create something else. But the end result, it's something handmade that you are choosing to share with the world or mm-hmm. with an individual.
Mm-hmm. And how long does
it take to do a project?
Yeah, to do a project.
depends on the project and it depends on your motivation and your dedication and your patience. If it's a craft that you're just learning how to do, whether it's in knit or crochet, it could take months to complete something.
Wow.
But someone in my case who I do this as I'm talking to you right now, mm-hmm. or I can do it in my sleep, well, not in my sleep, but I could pretty much take it, my projects with me anywhere I go to finish a sweater. It could take me maybe 2 to 3 weeks. When I say 2 to 3 weeks, I'm not knitting it from sun up to sundown. I'm knitting it in my pass time here and there. If it's a child sweater, that might take me a couple of days, maybe a week. A scarf, another week or so. A hat, I could do a hat in 2 hours.
Wow.
But that's not everybody's skill set.
Right.
I just have to be really fast at knitting and really fast at crocheting. And again, this is not something that I just picked up yesterday and started doing. I've been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. So.
What?
That's...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
How do you keep yourself motivated?
I draw inspiration from everything around me.
Mm-hmm.
You have some knitwear designers that put out a different pattern a week or once every 2-3 weeks. I probably put out a pattern every 2 to 3 months. I'm not in this because I want mass production or anything like that. Okay. I'm in it for the love of the craft and the time that it takes to do something. And I'm not gonna also design something just because it's trendy and it's popular or it's whatever. I draw inspiration from, like I said, originally, it started hitting publish on my first design because of my kids. So I do a sweater once a year for kids. Why? Because it's a new school year. They get bigger, they want more things.
Right.
And they don't always want the same stuff. So my inspiration comes from my family and it comes from what I see around me. My book, Island Vibes, it's a reflection of my Jamaican heritage. The reason why I wanted to publish this is because I wanted to take knitwear to the Caribbean. You know, most people, when they think of knitting or crocheting, they think of big chunky sweaters, big hats and wool scarves and things like that, big heavy wool items. But knitting is not only for the cooler months, it's for the warmer climates as well. So back to your original question, what inspires me? Everything around me, nature, friends, family, random patterns that I see all over the place that I draw inspiration from.
In case you're just tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Sasha Heyer, who is a knitwear designer and teacher here in Montreal, and has just done her book launch for Island Vibes, a book that celebrates not only her Jamaican heritage, but is also a tribute to the meditative and relaxing power of knitting. This is Radioland, and we do have to pay bills, play music, all that good stuff. So keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3.
Look at me. Real food you want. Come to Mango Bay every day.
Real food.
Mango Bay Restaurant, located in the heart of downtown Montreal, 1236 Mackay Street, Suite 201. For reservations, please call 514-875-7082 or visit mangobay.ca. Real food.
Let's get together and feel
Stupid, 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 st wam sala tu sana ma shona mala sabakuta one besa nenga yokta
kamatela America. And everywhere else the same.
Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel. I take care of my people like Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel. Until everyone equal like Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel. We stay elevated like Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel. My squad educated like
we. Oh no, do you think what I'm saying? Oh no, do you think what I'm saying?
Well, I'm all for democratic rule. As long as the little children go to school. As long as you can roll up to the hospital and getting turned down for money is impossible.
How you feel if the great-grandson of a slave took a piss on George Washington's grave? And I'm not saying to you that's how I behave, but I would laugh about the total lack of fucks I gave. It's a new day, racist folks is hella sour. They trying to figure how to hold.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening my guest is Sasha Heyer, a Montreal-based knitwear designer and teacher known for her versatile designs that combine colors and textures. Her work has been featured in several knitting magazines and books. Island Vibes is not only a celebration of her Jamaican heritage, but also a tribute to the meditative and relaxing power of knitting. She says, "Let this book be your guide as you knit your way through my vibrant and rhythmic world of summer knitwear, with Jamaica as your muse and the Caribbean as your backdrop." Sasha, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us this evening. Before the show, we had spoken about your book, and in particular, we'll start with the publishing company, because I had asked you if you had self-published, and you said that you had worked with a publishing company based in, was it Finland?
Finland, yeah. Yes.
How did you connect with them?
I have seen their stuff, their publication through the knitting store that I worked at in NDG. And I'm like, oh, they have such beautiful stuff. It's amazing. And then one day, one of the co-owners mentioned to me, she didn't mention it. I heard her talking to another one of the employees. And she's like, okay, so how's your design coming along? How's your design coming along? And again, because I only worked there one day a week, I'm not always privy to all of the conversation that happens throughout. And they had said, didn't you see the post on Instagram? Lion is putting out a call for 52 week for a call for submission for designers. They were putting together a series of what now is their 52 weeks of series, meaning 52 weeks of a specific or a selective item. Their first publication was 52 weeks of socks.
Okay.
And then the second year was 52 weeks of shawls. And so everybody at the store were trying to put together designs to submit to them. And I think we were total of seven of us that submitted designs, and only one of us got accepted into the 52 weeks of shawls. We're all like, oh man, here's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But regardless, the rest of us, we all still came together, put together a mini collection called the Crosswoods Collection, which is something else in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Then another year passed, there was another call for submissions for 52 weeks of easy knits. And I'm like, you know what? If you don't shoot your shot, you're going to miss. You never know what you could land or miss.
You miss all the shots you don't take.
You don't take. So I had nothing to lose. I put together two submissions for this. Actually, was it two submissions? Or I don't remember. Two or one. And they came back and they're like, we love this idea. We want it featured in our book. So got working on this pattern. That pattern ended up being a Marley cardigan. And I called it Marley after Bob Marley.
Yes.
And the reggae music, because reggae music is an infusion of different genres, right, that they put together and make something unique. And so this sweater was two different types of fibers that I used, a plain fiber and a boucle yarn. Anyways, it's called the Marley cardigan. That was featured in their book. When it came time for publication for that book, it was December 2022.
Okay.
And one of the co-founders happened to be in Montreal. Again, they're based in Finland. She was in Montreal and to promote the book. And I met with her. Her name is Yona. And so Yona's like, I'm like, hey, Yona, how'd you like, you know, 52 weeks of easy knits with my cardigan? And she's like, oh my God, we love the design. We loved it so much. Like the minute it came through, we said yes instantly, like you were moved to the yes pile. And she's like, so what are you working on next? That was her question to me.
Right.
I'm like, oh, you know, I had this little idea of summer knitwear. And she's like, ooh, tell me more, pray tell. And again, because most people, when they think of knitting, it's the big wool, warm season, the cooler months for heavy garments or accessories and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's very niche because most people, they put their needles down in the summertime and they don't knit, they don't know that there's another world out there.
Right.
And so she's like, send me a proposal of everything that you have in mind. I get back to Finland in a week. I'll review it. And by January, I'll let you know. I sent it to her. This was like right after the Christmas holidays. I think I sent it to her maybe just before New Year's. And then that first week of January when they were back in the office, she's like, love it. I pitched them 8 ideas and she's like, fantastic. And just one more, add one more pattern to the collection to make it complete. And I'm like, say less. Mm-hmm. And that's what got the ball rolling with Island Vibes. So, yeah.
And so how do you make knitwear that feels like, when you hear about knitting, you think about like someone who doesn't have intimate knowledge of it automatically is like, okay, something to keep me warm during the winter months. How do you make something that's knitted for the summer environment? Because people automatically think it's just going to be hot, and why am I wearing this hot thing that's going to make me sweat?
Exactly.
I don't want to sweat more than I have to.
You don't want to sweat more than you're already, you know, in the right. summer months. Well, it's easy. It's all about fiber selection, right? So when you think about knitting, people think wool. They think of the sheep and the this and the that. The right. wool and the alpacas and anything just that's hot.
Dense, yeah.
You warm and dense. But it's all about the fiber. So when this collection was brewing in my head, I'm like, but I like to knit with linen. I like to knit with cotton. I like to knit with silk. I like to knit with all of the bamboos and the blends, all of these different fiber blends. So these lighter materials, these lighter fibers are more suitable for the cooler months.
Right.
So that's the basis of my entire collection. I had wanted to make my entire collection to be plant-based fibers instead of animal-based fibers.
Right.
It is to a certain degree, with the exception of the silk, right? Because we all know that silk comes from worms. That's yes. the only thing that is animal-based. However, everything else, it's all plant-based fibers that I'm using because it's more breathable and it's lighter and it keeps you cooler in the summer months, you know?
Yeah, well, that answers the question rather succinctly because, like, someone who's not in the knitting community doesn't have the knowledge of the different material that you can use and the different Absolutely. Options because yeah. automatically, like, again, just like I would automatically be like, yeah, wool, that's the only thing people knit with, you know?
And again, that's what people come to me with. And so the beauty of this, it's called Island Vibes, a summer knits collection,
mm-hmm.
but it's really more of a 3-season thing. You know, it's great for any season except for the winter months because of the type of fibers.
Right.
So in the summer months, I in my collection, you have tank tops, you have skirts, you have a dress, you have wraps, little things like that. And there's a bag. So a lot of these things can be worn all year round. Mm-hmm. Just layer them up. Mm-hmm. You can wear a tank top in the fall,
yes.
put a t-shirt underneath it or a sweater over it, or like little blazer or cardigan, you're good to go. You know, one of the comments that I got when I was sharing my pieces with a friend of mine, and she's like, yo, this is wicked. This is amazing. She's like, your knitting is not just knitting. It's like haute couture knitting. And I do take pride in that because when you see my stuff, biggest compliment I ever got from my daughter. She's like, mommy, your knitting doesn't just look like knitting. It looks like something that you could buy in a store, right? Best compliment ever from my then 7-year-old or yeah. six and a half or so. And she's not the only one who's given me compliments like that. And that is why I say it can be worn pretty much three seasons. It's how you choose to accessorize it, how you choose to elevate your fashion, so to speak.
How do you go about choosing your colors and your patterns specifically to represent Jamaica?
Okay, so let me grab my book while we talk. Unfortunately for our viewers listening, they won't see it.
Right. They'll have to buy it.
They have to buy the book, Island Vibes, and you can get that on my website. I will share the link later on. My website is veronaknits.com.
Huh?
veronaknits.com.
All right, there we go.
So people, okay, before I get into the collection, people ask, where does Verona come from? Mm-hmm. Verona is my middle name. So Verona Knits, KNITS.com. That's my website. And you could order the book from there. So in the collection, like I said, there are 9 pieces. And I have a top that is like a pullover sweater. Mm-hmm. And I made a cardigan version of it. Okay. And what makes it islandy, it's the mesh patterns that I put in there. All right. I have another top that's called a grassroots. It's a little t-shirt top. And that one is one of my most authentic Jamaican pieces in the collection.
Right.
Just by looking at it, it has the colors that I find represents the Caribbean, which is the red, the green, the gold, and the black.
Mm-hmm.
So it has vertical panels on that. So in the little introduction in my book that I write for each piece for grassroots, I call this, I write, the colors in the grassroots tea are widely recognizable as some of the dominant colors of the Caribbean. The red, the green, the gold, and the black can be found in mesh pattern tank tops, dresses, woven into towels, and imprinted on a million and one different trinkets. So when I talk about these colors, I'm pretty sure you could think of the Rasta tank top that you find in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
People put this into towels and so on and so forth. So I wanted those colors represented in a t-shirt. And how do I replicate that top but make it my own style? And that's where I come in with my unique construction methods and so on and so forth that you can find in the book. But that's just one example of how I represent my country in this.
Yeah. And I'm curious about the process of getting the book down, because you had mentioned that some of your photography was done on location in Jamaica, in Portland, the Jerk Center of Jamaica.
Boston Jerk, big up.
So I was curious, like, what, because a lot of people don't understand how much thought and how much like consideration goes into
putting a book, you know, together.
Putting
a
book together, regardless of the style of the book, whether it's a fashion book, whether it's a novel, you know. So I'm curious about how you decided to choose Boston and choose the different locations that you were doing for the photography.
To answer your question. So okay, all pieces, each piece has a little piece of the Caribbean in it, like when I was designing it. And when it came to the photo shoot, there's only maybe 2 or 3 photos that were not taken by Sherrard Little, my photographer.
Okay.
And those were in studio photos that we took here on this side of the pond.
Yeah.
But everything else you see in the book that I am modeling is in Jamaica, and Sherrard Little, I found him online. He's a local photographer in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Whose day job is a cardiothoracic surgeon, go figure, and who does photography for fun.
Wow.
But he's amazing. So, like, big up yourself, Sherrard, I have to say that. I did some research online and through Instagram and through the internet. And the locations were selected because of his day job and him being as busy as he is, I didn't want to like monopolize his time. So I tried to keep the photo shoot down to one day. And it was also essential for me to do this photo shoot in Jamaica. I go to Jamaica like at least once a year with my family, because that's just what we do. I want my kids to know Jamaica the way I did.
Right.
And when I mentioned this to Lynn, my publishers, they're like, absolutely. Find a photographer, we'll do it there. At first, they were wondering if they were going to fly out there to do the photo shoot themselves. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we could find someone local, which we did.
Yeah.
And so I knew I wanted a lot of the nature reflected in the photos. I wanted the trees. I wanted the water. I wanted the moss that's on the rocks when you're climbing all these waterfalls and stuff like that. I wanted the beach, the sun, the sand. I wanted the essence of Jamaica to be in this book. And I do feel that Sherrard was able to capture the essence of the beauty of Jamaica along with my knitwear design in the element that I designed it to be in. So why Portland specifically?
Yeah.
Portland just had everything I wanted. And it was great that we didn't have to travel far. Because I told Sherrard, I'm like, I want a waterfall. I want a beach. I want some trees. And I want some river. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, most of the places that I was thinking of, I'm like, well, I know that there's Boston Jerk in Portland, and I know that there's a lot of waterfalls that are there. And he's like, okay, he found me Frenchman's Cove, which allowed me to get the beach. And what was beautiful about that specific spot was that we were able to get it from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. when nobody else was there. So a lot of these beach shots were just us. Yeah. My family in the background, and me and Sherrard and his assistant, we were there doing our thing. Boston Jerk, I mean, like, come on, you can't go to Portland without going to Boston. Like, it's like an absolute staple piece that's there. What else did we do? Berrydale River. I wanted rafting.
Okay.
And at the time, I could only think of Martha Bray rafting, which is like all the way over in Trelawney.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of people. For people who don't know Jamaica, it's quite a commute to do in one day.
Yeah.
But then he's like, don't worry, there's some rafting done in Portland as well. And he found me Berrydale. And he also found me Folly Ruins, which is like an old abandoned mansion by the seaside. So pictures of my Nutsfield cardigan, where you see me sitting in this abandoned mansion, it's at Folly Ruins. So we went to, like I said, we started the morning early 6 o'clock up at Berrydale, just at sunrise. Then we went down to Folly. Then we went to Boston Jerk. We stopped for some lunch. We went to the Blue Lagoon. Wow. Can't be in Portland without going to the Blue Lagoon. So beautiful shots of my my Safi, which is a big sarong wrap. Photos were taken there at the Blue Lagoon. Then we went to Reach Falls, Reach Waterfalls. Our shoot was done on a Monday. Typically, Reach Falls is closed on a Monday. But because it was the summer season, they had just reopened up again on Mondays, but not everybody knew about it. So when we were there, there was only one other family at that location, and the rest was just us. So again, the timing of everything was just beautiful. Like, all the stars were aligned that one day. And I don't know if anybody's ever been to Portland, but Portland is the wettest parish in Jamaica. Right? It's like almost always raining because of the location and everything. There was not one drop of rain that day. Not one. It was just such a blessed day. So again, Berrydale, Folly Ruins, Boston Jerk, Blue Lagoon, Frenchman's Cove, Reach Falls, all these beautiful locations in Portland. Like, for all you touristy people, that is a place to go.
That's amazing. Yeah. I have very fond memories of Portland. My family in Jamaica, we would go to, I don't know if it still exists, but there was this kind of villa hotel space called Goblin Hill.
Okay.
And we used to go there like maybe once every 2 or 3 months, and nice. they'd rent a villa, and we'd have somebody who would come and cook for us. Ooh. And
how old were you?
I was I want to say early teens, and between that time period.
Yeah.
And it was just one of my favorite things. We would leave Kingston in the night, like in the evening, like around 5, 6 p.m. and we'd get there around like 9-ish, depending on traffic and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just so magical arriving there, because there's so much flora and fauna.
There is, know? Yeah.
And
that Portland is lush like that, right?
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about heading to the north coast and taking like depending on how you go, but we'd always go through Stony Hill.
Yes. And from Kingston, yeah.
It's just so green and so lush and so alive.
It is. It is. Love yeah. It, like you said, it, the flora, the fauna, everything there is just beautiful. And I like to think of it as like a hidden gem,
yeah.
But not so hidden because everybody knows about it, but it's still hidden in the sense that it's not overpopulated with the large tourism that you would get from Negril, Montego Bay, Ocho Rios.
Yeah.
That's what people typically know Jamaica for the those touristy spots. But again, on the North Coast, Portland is... It's just magical, yeah. To say the least.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are talking to Sasha Heyer, and she has just published her first official book called Island Vibes, Summer Knit by Sasha Heyer. And it features 9 patterns for summer knits, 3 tops, a cardigan, a shawl, a dress, a shirt, a sarong, and a bag. And each piece is designed to be worn independently, but it can also be combined for stylish summer looks. This versatile capsule collection is designed mostly with linen, silk, and cotton yarns that are perfect for warm weather. We are going to be taking a quick musical and, of course, ad break. But keep it locked, because you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Mental illness. What do you think?
I have friends who don't even know that I suffer from depression.
Why don't they know?
Because I'm scared they'll ostracize me if they know, and then they'll abandon me. I don't want to be alone.
You're discriminated against when you have a mental illness. With other illnesses, there's compassion.
It doesn't take much to be diagnosed mentally ill.
Due to an outburst, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And now the doctors say it's something else.
20% of people and counting have had or will have a depression.
People throw different labels around. You are this or you are that.
Everybody psychoanalyzes someone during a conversation.
You have a right to express emotions.
Anger, love, hate, sadness, confusion. It does not mean you're ill.
If you're down and out, seek help. Don't be scared. It can be very intimidating.
There are people listening and willing to help.
We have to innovate.
Get informed. Contact your local CLSC, Sun Youth, Amy Quebec, Ford House, or Prevention Suicide.
Turn condoms outside, me come from in a care, my brother. One side, sit down for one chair, my brother. Come try, me will make you disappear, my brother. Long time it takes to reach here, my brother. I just kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me, kilometers. I don't come kilometers. I don't walk that many kilometers. Learn from the teacher. I don't take for the game, she no pizza.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and today we are talking to Sasha Heyer, who is a Montreal-based knitwear designer and teacher. She's known for her versatile designs that combine colors and textures, and her work has been featured in several knitting magazines and books. She has published her first book called Island Vibes, Summer Knits by Sasha Heyer, which features 9 patterns for summer knits, 3 tops, a cardigan, a shawl, a dress, a skirt, a sarong, and a bag. Each piece is designed to be worn independently, but can also be combined for stylish summer looks. The versatile capsule collection is designed mostly with linen, silk, and cotton yarns that are perfect for warm weather. Decorative elements and techniques such as fringes, modular knitting, and intarsia are used in a modern and vibrant way. Sasha says, let this book be your guide as you knit your way through my vibrant and rhythmic world of summer knitwear, with Jamaica as your muse and the Caribbean as your backdrop. Sasha, thank you so much for bringing a different aspect of the Black community to the radio, because, you know, oftentimes here when we're doing interviews, we're interviewing artists, we do interview writers, but the writers are usually writing, you know, they're writing novels, they're writing books for children, they're writing biographies. But you have written a knitwear book, and during the break you told me a question which I want to have answered on the air, which was, how do you write a knitting book? How does that process work?
Or what is a knitting book, right?
What exactly. Is a knitting book? Yeah.
So a lot of people are like, knitting book, how does that work? Da, 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 da. My short answer for people that I always like to give is, think of it as a cookbook. Everybody knows what a cookbook is.
Yeah.
Right? What you get when you get a cookbook, you have pictures of your finished recipe, your finished meal.
Yep.
And how to create this meal, you have instructions, you have a list of ingredients, you have the step-by-steps to follow to create this beautiful finished meal that you want to create. Mm-hmm. Translate that to knitting and it's the exact same thing. So you talk about the 9 patterns that I have featured. Think of my 9 patterns as your meals. You have the tops, the cardigans, the dresses, the skirts, the sarongs, the bags. The pictures that you see is the finished product. Mm-hmm. You have a list of ingredients, which is the materials that you need. What type of yarn, the thickness of your yarn, what types of needle, what kind of tools and trinkets and notions that you need to complete this specific project.
Yeah.
And then you have the directions, which are the instructions, the step-by-step guide to follow to create. You start off by doing this. You cast on X amount of stitches, you knit in a certain direction for a certain amount of time till you get to the next phase in your project. You mentioned also the different types of techniques that I've incorporated in this book. There's intarsia, there's modular knitting. Now, again, this is foreign to most people.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say that my book is, it's not for beginners and it's not for advanced knitters. It's for everybody.
Okay.
Because there's a little something of everything in there. If you don't know how to knit, trust me, you're going to want to learn how to knit when you see some of these patterns. You know, you might think of them as, oh my gosh, I'm not at that level.
Mm-hmm.
You won't know until you try.
Yeah.
And you said something in your intro, you know, thank you for bringing this perspective to the Black community that's here. It is a very niche thing that I do, and I know this, but more and more, as I talk about it and I bring it to the forefront, and other Black people, they come up to me, whether it's at the knitting store or at functions, or if people who've known me for very many years, you know, they always say, you know, my grandmother used to do this or my auntie used to do that. And I'm like, okay, that's fantastic. But why aren't you doing it as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they learned this from somewhere and it's something that's been passed on. We talked earlier about the history of fiber arts in the Black community and what it means from like the quilting days, something that is passed down from generation to generation to generation. You know, it's not just something your grandmother does. It's not something that your auntie does. It's something that you can do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make stuff that your grandmother made, make stuff your grandmother made. If you want to elevate your craft or just, you know, do it for fun, whatever you want to do, you can do. And the options,
possibilities are endless.
Yeah, exactly. Possibilities are endless. And again, this is not just for the Black community. It's always been there, but we just haven't really talked about it as much.
Yeah, that's That's the thing. Like, there are certain aspects of our culture, be it African American culture, be it Afro-Canadian culture, be it Caribbean culture, that sometimes gets lost, I find, you know, because we are living in a more capitalistic system that, you know, you have to buy everything and you have to go to this job and you have to make this money. And instead of making it for yourself, we're moving towards buying everything. Like, for example, I started making my own body butters.
Hey,
and,
nice.
And let me tell you, I like it way better than going and getting lotions and stuff like that, because the lotions, I like to use certain kinds of lotions and they're very expensive. And
yeah. My but not body only butter, are they expensive, but I'm pretty sure like you have certain sensitivities
that I've so developed over the years. Yeah. And sometimes it just don't, it like I put on the lotion and then 5 minutes later, all is ash. You know, like my elbows are still ashy.
Because they were not made for us.
Exactly. So yeah. I just make, and then on top of that, you have all of the ingredients that you can't pronounce the names. And my mother said to me when I was a kid, if you can't pronounce the name of the ingredient, don't buy it. You know?
Absolutely.
And then you find out, oh, this is actually a cancer-causing ingredient. It's carcinogenic. Yep.
Here you go.
And now so, I have my four ingredients, and I have my body butter, and it smells good up, good up.
Good up, good up.
Yeah.
But you see, that's kind of like what I find that's fun about this craft, right? You're talking about not necessarily giving into the whole capitalism culture that's out there. The beauty of knitting, crocheting, or anything that's me made, it's, I think of it as slow fashion. It's more sustainable, right? And that's why, again, back to earlier, the type of fibers that I use, I try to use like animal-based or plant-based fiber, something that is sustainable, something that is durable, you know, so
environmentally friendly.
But exactly, environmentally friendly. You know, like the wool that we use, it's like the best thing that we're doing, because what would happen otherwise, if we don't get the wools from the sheep, we have to shear sheeps. They cannot live with it for too long, right?
Yeah.
So we have to shear the sheep. What do you do with it? You toss it, you trash it? No, you reuse it, you repurpose it. So that's why there's so much wool out there. So by making things yourself, it's not just like, oh, I made this thing. It's like, I made this thing. It's a way that you say it. You're proud of what it is that you've created.
Yeah. It's an accomplishment.
It's a huge accomplishment. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then it's one of those things where you're constantly getting better at it. You know, you never necessarily attain perfection, but every day you can continue to improve and improve and improve, make more intricate designs, make more intricate patterns, create different things. You go from, you know, just doing a scarf to making more elaborate patterns. And then next thing you know, you're doing something for one of the celebrities at the Met Gala.
You never know where this craft will take you, right? Exactly. But again, you know, oh my God, I'm trying to go back to something that you said, you touched on. It's not about perfecting your craft. It's just improving your craft. And the more you do, the better you become at it. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I do when I teach my knitwear classes. You know, I'm like, it's not about going from 0 to 100. You think Usain Bolt was able to run 9.54 the first time he ever ran a 100 meter race? No, it's practice, 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 practice.
Yeah.
And the more you practice, you get better.
Yeah.
So you have to like, and also I tell people when I teach, be patient with yourself, be kind to yourself. You're just learning, right? Babies didn't kind of come out of the womb talking and running this the world. No, they learn things one step at a time.
Yeah.
Sometimes two steps at a time, but you know, there's a process to learning. Everybody learns at their own pace.
You kind of touched on it because I wanted to ask you. You in your bio it says that you're a teacher, so. Mm-hmm. How did you end up getting into teaching? I'm assuming you're teaching knitting.
Yes and no.
Okay.
So teaching, it's something that's always just been in me. When I was completing my degree at Concordia, many moons ago when we first met.
Yes.
It was not in teaching, it was in urban planning. But while I was doing that, I was working as a part-time teacher at a vocational school.
Okay.
So I was technically bitten with the bug since then. You know, I used to work in the office. I did some substitution. I had a couple of classes on my own for the adult center and whatnot. But after I graduated, I worked in my field, etc. So teaching was just put to the back burner, so to speak.
Right.
But then teaching kind of came back into my life again when I started having my babies. You know, after having my daughter and working the 9-to-5 culture, it was not something that I found was for me.
Right.
I wanted more flexibility with my time and my energy. And also being the creative that I am, I felt constricted and restricted in that 9-to-5 structure. I was working and then coming home in the evenings. I had no time for myself to explore my creativeness.
Yeah.
And so after having my second child, I went back to school, got my certificate in TESOL. For people who don't know what TESOL is, it's teaching English as a second language.
Yes.
And that is what I do now. I work from home. I work part-time as a ESL teacher. And the other part of the time, I am working on my knitwear design business. And I also teach knitting. So I teach English and I teach knitting.
Okay.
How did I get involved into teaching knitting?
Through the store.
By working my one day a week. And then they started offering classes. They're like, do you want to teach people how to knit? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, again, I'm a YouTube University graduate. I didn't think necessarily I had the credentials, but it's not because I didn't get the credentials through a school. I had the credentials based on my many, many, many years of experience.
Yeah.
And I was able to partake and share that with my students. And I, like I say, I always tell them, it's not a race. It's not a marathon. Like, just take your time. You go at your own pace. It's the journey that you have to enjoy. Knitting is, yes, you get beautiful pieces when you're done, but you have to enjoy the process. That is why I talk about it being such a meditative activity, because it's as you're going through it, as you make mistakes, you learn from your mistakes along the way. Mm-hmm. It can be very frustrating when you're learning how to knit in the beginning, because when you're not getting the right tension, that's like one of the worst things, but keep practicing it. So I teach patience. Predominantly, when I'm teaching knitting.
Woosa.
Exactly. Yes. Be kind to yourself. Always. Yeah. Always.
And I can imagine as well, like the you need extra patience, because if you miss something that you didn't realize you missed. And it was like halfway down from where you, and you have to unravel the whole thing unless it's something that you can fix, you know, within the process. But if you have to unravel it and you spent like the last 5 hours knitting it can be quite the like nerve-wracking,
very frustrating, and
cuss to the word point inducing.
People want to give up because they're like, I don't have no time for this. Like, look how much progress I've made. But I always tell people, like, okay, if you look, let's say you knitted 10 inches and you noted a mistake maybe at the 4th inch mark, so that means you have to rip back 6 inches,
right?
That's more than half of your work. But I always say to people, like, when you spot your mistake, like you mentioned, is it something that you can fix?
Yeah.
If you can fix it, fix it. But if it's something that is obvious and it's going to bother you and it's going to irk you every single time you look at your project, it is worth pulling it back. Do not think about the hours of work that you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the future as to be like, okay, I could live with this now. And I always also tell my students and everybody that come around me when it comes to my knitting, I like to make a mistake in every single one of my patterns. Okay. Because I always say that sometimes I do it intentionally, more so than not.
Okay.
Because I don't believe in perfection. Nothing should be perfect.
I like
you should
that.
Always leave space for error.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there's error, there's space for growth.
Right. Right.
That's what, so I always leave a mistake. Most people never spot these mistakes in my work because I know where they are. I'm like, oh, that stitch could have been a little bit tighter, or oh, I missed a stitch there, or whatever it is. I'm like, just leave room for imperfection in your life because that's how you grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a whole
that's another world.
No, it's a what do you call them things? You know when they have those interviews and they have those little clips where it's like just leave imperfection within the perfection, da 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 da, you know? It's a whole motivational speech.
I take that mentality not just in my, I keep that in my life. It's not just in my knitting.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not going to be amazing at everything forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not always going to be, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No. It reminds me of something that my father said to me. My stepmother's sister was like super upset because she got like 98% on one of her projects. And he was like, well, it's good that she didn't give you the 100 because you have something to strive for. If you're always doing everything perfect, then like, where's your motivation going to come from?
Absolutely. You know?
And I was like, that is, and I always find like when I'm doing something, if like I show it to other people and they're like, oh my God, it's great, I lose my motivation after a while. Because it's like, no, I need you to tell me.
You need criticism.
Like, right? I need something to help me to improve criticism. It. If it's already perfect, then what the hell am I doing this for? You know?
Yeah.
So
it's true.
So, I like that idea of like leaving imperfections within the work because you have room for growth. You have room for improvement. You have room to get better.
Yeah. To get better, there's always room for growth. I'm like, listen, we never stop learning, right?
Yeah.
Never stop.
Yeah.
And if you stop learning, then you're in a sad state.
Yes. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just tuning in for the first time, where have you been? We start at 7. We are speaking to Sasha Heyer, Montreal-based knitwear designer and teacher. She's known for her versatile designs that combine colors and textures, and her work has been featured in several knitting magazines. She has published her own book of knitting called Island Vibes, Summer Knits by Sasha Heyer, which features 9 patterns for summer knits, 3 tops, cardigan, a shawl, a dress, a skirt, a sarong, and a bag. Each piece is designed to be worn independently, but can also be combined for stylish summer looks. The versatile capsule collection is designed mostly with linen, silk, and cotton yarns that are perfect for warm weather. We do have to take a quick break, our final break for the evening, pay some bills, play some music, but keep it locked. We're going to be back soon. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yeah. Bring a whole lot of, bring a whole lot of, a ton of bug. There might be 50 of y'all,
nah,
but there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter, ready for summer bug.
Yeah.
Heavy season, with a ton of trucks.
Yeah.
A ton of bug. Bring a whole lot of, a ton of bug. Bring a whole lot of, a ton of bug. It might be 50 of y'all. But there's a ton of us. Bring another scale.
Bring it.
It's too heavy. Bring another scale. A crump way too heavy. Bring another scale.
Damn.
It's too heavy.
Damn.
It's too heavy. My crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale.
Bring it.
It's too heavy. I said bring another scale.
Another one.
A crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale. This is too heavy. This is too heavy. Man, it's too heavy. Bring a whole lot of,
a lot of it.
A ton of bug. It might be 50 of y'all.
50 of y'all.
But there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter. Ready for summer bug.
Keep it cold, boy.
Heavy season. With a ton of trucks.
Damn.
Let's go, boy.
Low.
ATL. Talk to him, Low.
How could I possibly
soon as I come out the house. So I might as well give them something to talk about. I bust a rap to make a blind man believe in the boogie. And if you came here, the move is even the boogie.
And goes in the mouth. I come from the back rows in the dirty house. If you leave the door open, mom's gonna cuss you out. I got a big dog in the front yard. Best put leave that bite hard. I got a granddaddy who think he's your car. And that's how we do it around these parts. Oh.
When you want me to come,
holla.
When you want me to come,
call me.
When you want me to come,
I'll be around.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back for the final time this evening. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My guest this evening is Sasha Heyer, a Montreal-based knitwear designer and teacher, known for her versatile designs that combine colors and textures. Her work has been featured in several knitting magazines and books. Island Vibes, her first publication, is not only a celebration of her Jamaican heritage, but also a tribute to the meditative and relaxing power of knitting. She says, "Let this book be your guide as you knit your way through my vibrant and rhythmic world of summer knitwear, with Jamaica as your muse and the Caribbean as your backdrop." Island Vibes, Summer Knits by Sasha Heyer, features 9 patterns for summer knits, 3 tops, a cardigan, a shawl, a dress, a skirt, a sarong, and a bag. Each piece is designed to be worn independently, but can also be combined for stylish summer looks. This versatile capsule collection is designed mostly with linen, silk, and yarns, cotton yarns, that are perfect for warm weather. Decorative elements and techniques such as fringes, modular knitting, and intarsia are used in a modern and vibrant way. Sasha Heyer, thank you so much for being here this evening. And once again, bringing a different side of the Black community to our listeners' ears, a side that we don't often hear about.
I was just saying, thank you so much for having me, because it's pretty cool. You know, I'm so happy that you reached out to me, and like you said, this is not something that is at the forefront of people's minds in our community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I wanted to ask you 2 things. One, as a mom, how have your children showed interest in what you do, and how are you nurturing that? Mm-hmm. And second, want to demand them. Me nah do nothing for the man them. Me nah wear no sarong, you know. Me nah wear no dress. Why I make for the man them? I have to ask.
That's a lot to unpack. So let's start with "Womp to the man them."
Okay.
In my book, there's one specific piece. It's called Mira, and this top, it's a mesh top. It's a mesh T-shirt or mesh top or pullover, whatever you want to call it. Because I made a short sleeve crop version, and I made a long sleeve full length version.
Right.
And when I made this piece, there's a picture in my book, and you can find it also on my social media at Verona Knits, where the entire family is wearing a different version of this top.
All right.
That means myself, the hubby, the daughter, and my son. Okay. And so it's unisex, it's gender neutral in that sense. And awesome. It's good for the mandem. You know, if you want to make a knitted skirt, make a knitted skirt. Of course, let your freak flag fly. You do you. But everything in this collection can be the pullover top, the cardigan, there's a shawl, there's a wrap. There's one shawl specifically that is super near and dear to my heart. It's called Disentangle.
Okay.
And this is a shawl that is a representation of the Jamaica flag, because when I hold it up in its entirety, you see the X in Jamaica, but it's a deconstructed X.
Okay.
And I made two versions. I made a smaller version, a light one with more muted colors, a light purple and a pink and a speckled yarn. And then I made another bolder version with the Jamaican colors in there, with the big yellow X and the green and the black. Mm-hmm. Listen, not all knitwear is for the women. Like I said, I started designing because I wanted gender neutral things.
Great.
Yes, yeah. There are some more feminine pieces, such as the skirt and a dress. The dress is more of a tunic vibe, you know? So if you want to shorten it, make it a little shorter. My grassroots tee, it's a t-shirt. Men don't wear t-shirts?
Yeah, of Hello. Course.
Okay, so as far as the sizing is very inclusive. I range from, I'm going to give it something general for the people, but like I actually give bust measurements, chest measurements in my book, in the patterns.
Right.
From like an extra small all the way up to a 5XL. Wow. So there's a range of sizes that's in there. So whether it's for adults, some of the stuff can just be sized down for kids. It can be very gender neutral,
mm-hmm.
right? So yeah. That is to address the point, but want to the mandem. Yeah. There's stuff in there for you as well.
Great.
And what was your first question again? Remind me, please.
The first question is, have your children shown interest? Yes. And how do you nurture yeah. that interest?
So my son, he's 5 years old. He has shown zero interest. he's just basically, mommy, I want a sweater. Mommy, where's mine? I want my stuff too, mommy.
Right.
So that is what I do for my son, Mr. Harrison. I mm-hmm. just make him things and he wears them. Right. He loves to actually wear my stuff. My daughter loves to actually wear my stuff as well. The whole family does, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But she has shown so much more interest into the skill set that I have. Since she was 3 years old, she's like, I want to do that too, mommy. And the rule that I have is that when you are able to write your name properly without like all the letters the same shapes and sizes, you have your lettre majuscule, your capital letters and your small letter fonts. And she's also doing cursive. When you could do that fluidly and comfortably, when that dexterity has fully formed, mm-hmm. then I will teach you how to do with a hook or with the needle. So either okay. crochet, knitting. And she's of that age now. She's in grade 2. She's 7, going on 8.
Yeah.
But we've started a little bit. We started with finger knitting. So it's you just basically wrap the yarn around your fingers and you just do loops over your fingers. That's what that is. And now she's upgrading to crochet hooks. And, you know, she came to me earlier by showing me. She's like, look, I made my first big change. She's like, look how long it is. And it's incredible to see her show this interest in my skill. So I do nurture it, and she understands the difference between knitting and crochet. She understands when mommy is in a design mode or in a hurry up and finish it mode. Like, she knows the different stages of my
right.
craft.
Right.
Because she's paying attention to it, whereas my son just wants a finished product.
Amazing. And what would you say to a parent who wants to perhaps learn how to knit because they have children?
So back to my teaching, I don't only teach adults how to knit. When I was working at the store in NDG, there was a local school that was around the corner, and they just came to like, can you donate some yarn? Because we want to start an after school program with our kids.
Right.
We're like, well, what do you want to do with all of this yarn? Like, yes, we can oblige. And they're like, well, we're just thinking, you know, just a couple of crafting things and we're going to get some teachers. We're like, well, and then they also asked us if there's anybody, any of our staff members that would be interested in doing this. And so myself and another colleague of mine, the school started it, but we were the first implementers of this after school program of teaching kids how to knit.
Nice.
And so they started as of grade 4, 5, and 6. So there are programs that are available in schools for kids, mm-hmm. you know, and if there aren't any, you could ask them. Just right. ask the educators or, you know, the administration to implement a program like this. They could either reach out to knitters, because most teachers or parents, someone knows someone who does this kind of work.
Yeah.
So if they don't go to the stores directly, reach out to an individual and get the ball rolling in order to create an after-school program at the school. If you can't find one at your after-school, reach out to local knitting stores. And there are more of them than you think.
Right.
And if you can't go to a knitting store, Michael's also has programs like this, you know, where they have crafting days. So if you want to get this, your kids involved into something like this, there are resources that are out there. And if people want me, I'm available for hire as well.
VeronaKnits.com.
There you go.
I wanted to also ask, yes, I remember. Because you said you studied and you worked in urban planning.
Yes.
Did any of your skills that you acquired from your study and the years of working translate to
the knitting?
Your knitting?
To the knitting in and of itself, to a certain degree, yes. Mm-hmm. Because of urban planning and city planning and development like that, that is also part of like what I see when I look at, when I talk about where I draw inspiration from, the world around me, nature, the environment. I see patterns in things like, even like in urban planning in a city, you see the way a city streets are, the organic nature of streets or the man-made grid lines that we see. So like there's some beautiful geometric shapes that can be derived from nature and patterns and whatnot. So some of that has been incorporated in my design and my inspiration. Another aspect of my studies and my professional, quote unquote professional time in the office is learning how to manage my time and the business part of things, because it's not just creating, yeah. Right? Once created and it's done, how to put together a pattern. I had to reach out to some resources from some friends that are familiar with layouts, right? I didn't know what it's like, what platforms to use. So I sourced people, friends and family to help me in that respect of things. And then again, when it comes to publication and marketing and things like that. So a lot of that business side of my studies has transferred in the business side of my knitting adventure as well.
And I guess maybe the final question would be, what is something that you need to know when you are deciding to become or to engage in the practice of knitting?
Something that you need to know, I'm going to repeat it again and again and again. Be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself, because it's a process. It's a journey. Yes, there's a destination, but you have to think about the journey and the process that it takes to get there. So be kind to yourself. Enjoy, appreciate every single step along the way.
Please, Sasha, tell people how to find you, how to get in touch with you, and all of the good things.
All of the things. So on Instagram, Verona Knits is my handle, VeronaKnits. That's my handle on Instagram. My email, veronaknits@gmail.com. My website, veronaknits.com. Sense a theme here? Verona Knits.
I'm seeing the branding. I'm seeing the branding.
Yes. Yeah. So my designs, I go by Sasha Heyer Designs, but Verona Knits is my handle on all my social media platforms.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. And
thank
speaking,
you for having me.
Yeah. And speaking with us. And again, you know, like one of the privileges of doing this new style of, I call it documentary radio, is that I get to speak with people who have unique skill sets, and then we get to go in it, like go really dive deep into the sauce to learn something new. And I hope that my listeners are learning and
I hope my passion is translated through the waves here, because in case you can't tell, I really do love what I do.
Yeah. So that is it. VeronaKnits.com. Verona Knits at Verona Knits on
Instagram.
VeronaKnits@gmail.com. That's all the information, you know?
Yes.
So just in case you tune in for the first time this evening, we've been speaking to Sasha Heyer, a Montreal-based knitwear designer and teacher known for her versatile designs that combine colors, textures, and her work has been featured in several knitting magazines and books. Island Vibes, her first publication, is not only a celebration of her Jamaican heritage, but also a tribute to the meditative and relaxing power of knitting. Sasha says, let this book be your guide as you knit your way through my vibrant and rhythmic world of summer knitwear, with Jamaica as your muse and the Caribbean as your backdrop. Island Vibe Summer Knits by Sasha Hire features 9 patterns for summer knits, 3 tops, a cardigan, a shawl, a dress, a skirt, a sarong, and a bag. Each piece is designed to be worn independently, but can also be combined for stylish summer looks. This versatile capsule collection is designed mostly with linen, silk, and cotton yarns that are perfect for warm weather. Again, veronaknits.com, veronaknits@gmail.com, and @veronaknits on Instagram. That is it for this evening. We are here every Tuesday evening. We talk about everything happening in the Black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and of course internationally. We speak to people from all over the world. Next week is gonna be Teen Talks, and we'll be back at West Haven, so please do tune into that. It is gonna be a live broadcast with none other than Ziplocs. We're gonna have Phenomenal back, and we're gonna also have Nefertari, and we're gonna have a couple of guests. So yeah, keep it locked. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
He was sent from above. Oh yeah. Swept me off my feet like no other. Make my heart go beat like a drummer. Each time we lock eyes, I know that there's no more searching for my bonanza. Yeah, we got the answer. Even if I tried to push him away, he said, let me care for you, my darling. Make you breakfast in the morning. When we got together, sugar bang bang, sugar so sweet. Such a vibe, oh my, can't deny. Sweat me off my feet like no other. Make my heart go beat like a drummer, yeah. Each time we lock eyes, I know that there's no more searching for my bonanza. Yeah, we got the answer. Even if I try to push him away, he said, let me care for you, my darling.
Spread the word. CKUT is looking for someone to join our team as the chair of the board of directors. Our board of directors reads the fine print, approves the annual budget, engages in community outreach, and keeps CKUT's eye on the bigger picture. The board meets for 2 hours every month, and the chair circulates agendas, keeps meetings organized, and acts as a liaison between the outside world and the board. If you're passionate about the station, this is an opportunity to help lead CKUT into a new era of community media. For more information, please send a message to admin@ckut.ca.
Jamaica Association of Montreal and Indie Roots Records have come together to bring you Woomban, an all-female artist showcase to bring ovarian cancer awareness to the community and to raise money for Ovarian Cancer Canada. On Friday, May 17th, 8 p.m., at the Jamaica Association of Montreal at 4065 Jean Talon West, Metro Namur. It's a free event, just donate. All funds going to Ovarian Cancer of Canada. For more info, 514-792-4775. This ad is sponsored by CKUT 90.3.
Dans l'industrie de l'audio, de la vidéo, de l'éclairage et de la sonorisation professionnelle, l'équipe de Sonomusique est incontestablement la meilleure. Ayant constamment innové depuis 20 ans dans le domaine de la sonorisation des grands événements et grâce à son système dernier cri, constitué d'enceintes acoustiques à la fine pointe de la technologie, Sonomusique vous offre une sonorisation puissante de grande envergure sur une longue portée. Pour la meilleure qualité de sonorisation possible à petite, moyenne et grande échelle, choisissez Sonomusique, le leader qui pense, innove et...
Everybody listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90,3 FM CKUT.
Tu-n fața moștii mele, eu în fața ta. Zi-mi de ce ne doare.